You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate. We're going to call today's show Spa Therapy. Spa, like a spa that you relax in. A spa that can help you feel better and more connected with those around you, your environment, and the people you communicate with on a daily basis. These are lessons learned from cognitive behavioral therapy in a program we call Spa Therapy. You ever notice how, given a certain stimulation, a certain stimulus, a certain situation in life, everyone reacts differently? Some people react angrily. They get upset and maybe somebody spills coffee and they get all upset. How can you spill it? How can you be so stupid? Another one would be like, oh, wow, can I help you? Can I help you clean it up? And someone else may be, oh, my, you got my computer all full of coffee. That everyone has a different reaction based upon maybe even the exact same situation. And we all know people have different biases, different thoughts, different patterns of programs of how they behave in given situations. Even if they haven't had that situation before, it is what is a similar situation and how does their automatic brain feed them a behavior, an emotion, a feeling, a physical trait or symptom that causes them to react in a certain way. Today, we're going to be looking at that and seeing, are there ways that we can address that? Are there ways that we can react differently? Can we look at some way that we react that we're not happy with? And can we change the way we act in the future automatically? So that's what today's program is all about, spa therapy. And once again, spa therapy is what cognitive behavioral therapy and psychological research teach us that result in this thing we call spa therapy. Sounds very relaxing. Let's continue on. So what is the cognitive model that cognitive behavioral therapy follows in working with clients, working with patients, working with those people who are being coached or being dealt with in the therapy, in the therapeutic practice? The model is basically a three-step model. There's a given situation, something that happens. There are thoughts, automatic thoughts, things that pop up into the mind or into cognition, into the thinking brain that are based upon patterns and programs. And these things will elicit feelings, behavior, physical reaction. So again, it's a three-step approach. Situation, thoughts, resulting in feelings, behavior, and physical reaction. Now, going way back to Pavlov, we've talked about him and his dogs on this show before, that there in animals is thought to be a stimulus response, that there's no thought that's going on in there. Well, in humans, there's also stimulus and response, because we do have a lot of our automatic actions that are carried out without a lot of thinking. But we do have that ability to have some thought in there and think about something before we react. Now, we have a lot of thoughts, so thoughts that are based upon today's environment, based upon the news, based upon our background, based upon past relationships, based upon what's going on at work, the stress and anxiety we feel. Did we sleep a lot? Did we miss a meal? Are we hangry, right? Everyone's hangry because they're hungry. There's so many things that fit into that middle portion between the stimulus and the response, and we call that thought. Well, is there thought? How deep is the thought? Is the thought coming from our reptilian brain? Is it coming from our mammalian brain, you know, that reptilian piece of us that's instinctual? Is it coming from an emotional part of our body or the limbic system? Or is it coming from our prefrontal cortex, or is it coming from the new mammalian brain or the human brain? Or should I say let's just call it the neocortex, the prefrontal cortex, the thinking brain, where we think and thoroughly think before we react. And that comes back down to Pavlov, stimulus response, and humans, stimulus thought response. How much thinking do we really do before we take action? So what goes on next is we've taken those three steps and broken them down into SPA, stimuli, that will initiate a program that will then trigger an action. And so what we're trying to do is take the cognitive behavioral therapy model and make it real simple to remember. Stimuli, program, action. The program can be anything we just talked about. It can be what we're thinking at the time. It can be subconscious thought, or it can be innate or, you know, reptilian thought, things that are based upon our own survival mechanism. So program is a three-layer program. It's three layers of, is it born into us? Do we learn it, but it's back there in the subconscious? Or is it something that is what we are thinking right now, and we now react based upon present situation, present evidence, present stimulus? And then the action we take, what is it? So that's the SPA portion of it, to remember what that means. So now we're going to get into why we are addressing this, why we're looking at it. For instance, in a given situation, you can have the same situation, but different minds will process that differently. And let's give an example here. For example, you are waving at a friend who is across the street, but they don't wave back. So you're just walking across the street or walking across the street from a friend you know. You wave at them. They don't wave back. Let's look at how three different people may look at this same incident. Number one, an anxious pattern in somebody's program might trigger them to think, they're ignoring me. Did I do something wrong? For an instance, their feeling would be, I'm worried, I'm insecure that I did something that bothered them. The behavior might be, later on, they may avoid this person, and they may be thinking and ruminating about past interactions, about how many times did I wrong them? Are they upset with me? For example, what experience in the past did they have with that person? Did they have rejection or abandonment in relationships? Not only with that person, with others, because if they had past rejection or abandonment in relationships, that could be a trigger that if they're being ignored in a wave or not seen in a wave, that they immediately think that person is upset at them. Did I do something wrong? How about number two? Let's look at another example. How about somebody who has a healthy pattern? Response two, they probably didn't see me. Their feeling is calm and neutral. Their behavior, they think nothing of it. They wave again next time they see this person. Their past experience may be secure relationships, positive social feedback. They're strong in themselves. They're strong with how they feel with other people. They think if they wave and the person doesn't wave back, the person must not have seen them. They don't have the negative program. They actually have positive programs, and they are neutral and calm. And then a third way that someone may react in this situation, if they're defensive, and a defensive pattern would be, wow, how rude. They must be mad at me. They are now feeling angry and irritated. The behavior, they may send a passive-aggressive message or may ignore the other person later. Their past experience may be a history of conflict or betrayal by other people. Would you like this turned into, oh, you like that one? Yes, I would like this turned into a visual slide deck. In any case, the best behavior that they have experienced, this history of conflict or betrayal, has told them that they've been betrayed, so now they don't trust other people. So that person who they thought were their friend, maybe, when they didn't wave, they're thinking they are rude. So here again, three different responses for the same situation. Very interesting. So what is the cognitive model? Thoughts influence feelings and behaviors. The cognitive model proposes that how we think directly affects how we feel and act. Distorted thinking leads to emotional distress. Negative automatic thoughts and cognitive distortions can create or worsen mental health issues. Changing our thoughts can change outcomes. By identifying and challenging unhelpful thoughts, individuals can improve their emotional well-being and behavior. We talk a lot about neuroplasticity. We talk a lot about being able to reprogram ourselves once we can observe how we are. So if we can take a step back, do auto-observation, and understand how we react in given situations, we can then look if we want a different reaction in the future. If we learn about new behaviors, if we reprogram old thoughts and old memories to be better suited for future reactions, we may then change our behavior in the future. Cognitive behavioral therapy teaches these things, small steps moving forward to move from behavior you don't want to behavior you do want. But it takes a willingness to do it. It takes an understanding and acknowledgement of the benefit of doing it. What are the things that we want in our life? What do we want to do to obtain them? And what are we willing to sacrifice to get there? That when we have a goal of how we want to be, how we want to act, and the reason why, it gives us a reason to self-motivate, to have intrinsic motivation. And remember, we've talked about this as well, extrinsic motivation coming from the outside can actually kill your own desire to do something. That when you have true intrinsic motivation, like when we talk to kids about, hey, you really thought really well and you worked hard on getting this thing done, and we're telling them what a good job they did in working hard, it gives a different sense of motivation than if they get the answer right and you said, hey, you got the answer right, you're really smart. When you tell somebody they're really smart, they don't think you're appreciating the hard work that they're doing. But when you said, I really like how you got to that answer, they are now thinking about the work that they did to get there. They focus on the benefit, the reward of doing good work, not the reward on getting the right answer. And those are things that we can tell ourselves to help us build a different way of looking at stimuli, situations, to think about them differently and come up with different thoughts, which means we'll come up with different patterns of behavior. When we come back, we'll talk more about spa therapy.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate. Today we're talking about spa therapy, stimuli, program, action, how we can look at cognitive behavioral therapy and use it to our advantage in helping to reprogram our brain, our thoughts, our memories, and the way we see the world, so we react differently and have different behaviors in the future. Going back to cognitive behavioral therapy for a moment, what does cognitive behavioral therapy do? It helps identify and change negative thought patterns. Cognitive behavioral therapy helps individuals recognize distorted thinking. Here we have the thinking that's distorted. Replace it with more realistic, positive thoughts. So again, what cognitive behavioral therapy works on is the cognitive part, which triggers the behavior. It's change thoughts, you change behavior. Again, change the thoughts, the patterns, the programs, therefore the ensuing behavior will become different. It focuses on present problems and practical solutions. It is action-oriented and goal-focused, targeting current issues rather than delving deeply into the past. So in an example, we did this a few shows ago. It talked about somebody who was scared of dogs and would walk to the other side of the street every time they saw a dog, or they wouldn't even leave their house in fear of there being a dog on the street that they meet. They then worked on tiny steps of maybe seeing a dog on TV, a picture of a dog, and trying to have thoughts of, hey, the dog's cute, that I really would like to pet the dog. And then they came up with reasons that were positive for them to have interactions with pets. Hey, if I did get along with dogs, if I was not afraid of dogs, I'd be able to have more conversations with my neighbors who had dogs. When they were on the road walking their dogs or on the street walking their pets around the neighborhood, I would not fear to be able to talk, communicate, interact, and have a relationship with neighbors. So they come up with a whole bunch of what is the reason to try to overcome this fear, and then put together a series of steps that can be done now. They don't necessarily go back in time and go, what happened when I was a child and how do I fix that? It's what can I do now with my brain, with my body, with my action to reprogram how I feel now. So it's really an action-oriented therapy that begins in the mind, but it does take place out in the real world with real action. Lastly, cognitive behavioral therapy teaches coping skills and behavior strategies. It provides tools to manage stress, anxiety, depression, and other mental health challenges through structured techniques. Techniques of behavior, techniques of how to think, techniques of how to change the patterns now to have different behavioral outcomes in the future. So getting back to our SPA therapy program, stimuli, program, action. That's what I want you to remember. Stimuli, program, action. Stimuli is a situation, a present thing that's going on. The program that we're running in our brain, our thoughts, and the action, what do we do? In this case, we also can look at that as something we've done in the past, is break those pieces down into further pieces. For instance, the stimuli are part of what we see, what we recognize, what we hear, what we taste. And in this case, it goes back to our program on 7TM. Then we talk about the triune brain and the processing of that information. And we'll be looking at the id, the superego, and the ego. And then finally, we're going to be looking at the emotion, sensation, and behaviors we feel and get as a result of that. So let's look at the stimuli. We talk about something called 7TM. So we're talking about the senses, but we're talking about the seven senses, not the five, but the seven. Let's look at what they are again, because these are the things that we get our stimuli from. The more realistic those senses are, meaning that they aren't convoluted, they aren't like if I don't have my glasses on and everything's blurry, I'm going to have stimuli that's going to be different than when I have my glasses on. I want to have a clear picture of what's going on so I can interpret the stimuli to the best possible extent that I can. I want to be able to hear clearly the situation. I don't want to hear muffles. I don't want to have really loud music going on in my car while I'm driving and then miss something. That's why I turn my music off when I'm backing up. It's a little joke there. A lot of us do that. You, when you're looking for a parking space, you turn the music off. I think that just helps us focus. But in any case, we can see a situation more clearly. We can hear a situation more clearly. We can touch and feel and taste and smell a situation differently if those senses are attuned and practice the art of sensing. So let's see what those senses are one more time. Skin. And by the way, we have an acronym, 7TM, which stands for those seven senses, 7TM. S for skin, for touch. E for eyes, for vision. V for vestibular system, which is the system of balance and spatial orientation. It's the little tubes that are in the ear that help us with the balance as we walk around. E, ears for hearing. N, nose for smell. T, tongue for taste. M for muscles, body position, and movement awareness, which all stages of our life, the more in tune we are with all of these seven senses, the more connected we're going to feel not only with the environment, but with each other and connecting ourselves, grounding ourselves to what's going on around us. Let's talk about how we can look at each of these seven senses and how we can assure that they are as attuned as possible. Skin and touch, skincare. Keep your skin healthy, hydrated, damage your dryness, which can, if you have too much dryness, it can reduce sensitivity. You might want to do some tactile stimulation exercises. Activities like using textured balls or fabrics can refine tactile discrimination. You're basically teaching yourself to feel things. Temperature training, having some warm and cold sensations, can help the body stay responsive to temperature changes. Have one glass of water a little bit colder than another and try to be able to figure out which is which by putting your fingers in them. Protective ways that you can protect. Protecting against injury, minimizing extreme temperatures, and practicing good hygiene can preserve nerve endings. You don't want to freeze your nerve endings, your feet, your hands in the winter weather because you're just tough. Because later on in life, you may lose the sensations in those things and have a harder time relating with your environment. And the less connected you are with your environment, the less present you are, the more that you feel you're in a cloud of fuzziness. Because it's not only your eyes that can be blurry, but it can be all your senses that are blurry or have gotten blurry over time because you haven't taken the time to feel connected through your senses with your environment and with those around you. And again, with yourself, grounding yourself to the environment which is around you. Let's talk about eyes and vision. Go get regular eye exams. Detect issues like refractive errors or diseases early. Make sure you have proper lighting and ergonomics. Avoid eye strain by working in well-lit environments and take breaks. Eye exercises. Some find that structured eye movement or focusing exercises may help reduce fatigue and make you actually recognize things faster. Nutrition. Nutrients such as lutein, zeaxanthin, and vitamin A can support eye health. So these are things we can do for our eyes. How about our vestibular and balance sense? Balance exercises. How about yoga, tai chi, single leg stands? Challenge and strengthen reflexes. Vestibular rehabilitation, if needed. This is, again, balance rehabilitation. Physical therapy targeting specific deficits. Physical therapy targeting specific deficits in balance or dizziness. Movements in motion. Regular exposure to moderate motion, walking, gentle rocking. Keep the vestibular system adaptable. Meaning, if you sit for prolonged periods of time, whether it's minutes, hours, or days, over time, the less movement you do, the less ability you have for balance. And I know a lot of you are young and you don't think this is a thing, but as a kid, did you ever skateboard and now you're older and you feel like you can't do it? Did you ever like climb a tree and feel, wow, I can climb a tree when I'm young, but now when you do it, you're scared because I'm so high off the ground or you don't trust yourself? This body connection, this balance connection to how you are is very important. It's important for a sense of self. It's important for a sense of confidence in just moving around and being in the environment. Moving on to ears and hearing. Hearing protection is important, especially if you're in a job where there are loud saws and hammers and other things going on. I'm going to tell you something that I did at work a couple of years back. I wanted to pound this metal piece into a piece of wood. It's one of those clips that you could connect two pieces of wood with. It has all these little dimples on it that go in. And I took a hammer and I kept hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And it wasn't doing it evenly. So I thought, oh, I'll put a block of metal on top and hit it with this giant hammer. And I'm doing it and I'm hearing ding, ding, ding. And I did that for maybe about a minute and then I stopped. And I couldn't hear for about a half an hour. I didn't realize it at the time, but those sharp bangs were damaging my eardrums. Luckily, I hope, it was only for a short period of time and that I recovered. But sometimes we don't know if we have recovered. We think we have because we hear, but we don't know if we hear to the same extent we did before. With vision, we don't know if we see to the same extent we did before. We don't know what's missing. And I can tell you that with a brain, you don't know when brain cells die because they're not there to think anymore. You don't know when you've gained brain cells because you don't feel you've changed that much. But when you look from one day to another day, years apart, you can suddenly say, wait a minute, I didn't used to be like this. And you need to protect all your senses as you move forward and age. We talk about regular hearing checks. Detect early hearing loss, which can lead to timely interventions. Auditory training. Listen to music, language exercises, or specialized auditory processing programs, which can help maintain sharpness. So again, all of our senses, they're like muscles. We exercise to keep our muscles strong. We walk and run to keep our lungs and heart strong. We need to do the same with all of our senses where we have that feedback and that feedback loop that goes through our senses to our brain. It keeps us connected. Stay hydrated and healthy. So we're going to the nose now. We want to stay hydrated and healthy in order to keep our nasal passages best when the mucous membranes are well hydrated. I started at the end here. The training for our sinuses, repeated sniffing set at a distant sense. So I think we brought this up a couple of shows ago again. We had gotten this little wine tasting training set, which has maybe 100 different little vials of smells in them. And you smell and you're supposed to say, oh, that smells like apple. Oh, that smells like chocolate. Smells like leather. And you may smell these for the first time and go, yeah, that's exactly what it smells like. Or you might go, I'm not sure what that is. The point would be is that if you do enough practice with it, you can gain those senses and connect the smell to what it is. So this kind of training can connect you to very distinct senses and smells, just like a wine taster can do. When you go, oh, this has leather and chocolate and raspberry, and oh, I can smell the oak. That these things are not just automatically things that we can sense. If we can program ourselves to smell a smell and know what it is, this helps us again connect to the things we're doing, the environment. As we pass somewhere, we may have a better sense of what we're smelling. It can actually increase our awareness of the environment around us and increase the amount of pleasure we get from having these added sensations. Of course, on the other hand, you may smell things that you didn't smell before that are disgusting and rude, and you may say, oh, great, now I've opened up this sense of smell wider than it was before, so I'm more sensitive in all areas. So you have to, I guess, weigh the positives against the negatives. Let's continue on with this. How about tongue and taste? Make sure you clean your mouth, brush your teeth. Make sure your oral hygiene is there, is that if you're never brushing your teeth, cleaning your mouth, rinsing your mouth, you can end up with tastes that are in your mouth. As, if you go to the dentist and they're cleaning a lot of stuff out between your teeth, well, that stuff was in there creating tastes in your mouth that were detracting from the actual tastes of food. You may find yourself putting more salt or more pepper or more spices on something than normal because you've deadened the senses in your mouth. So you could also do taste training. You could explore a variety of flavors and cuisines that can expand taste sensitivity. And avoid overstimulation. As we just said, excessive salt or sugar can dull taste receptors over time. So that is another area that we want to stay and keep connected to. How about this? Muscles and body position acuity. That we want to have exercise and physical activity. Activities like dance, Pilates, or sports, which challenge and refine body sensing feedback. Balance and strength training, just like the vestibular system. Now we're teaching our whole body to work better together. Not only that, but by strengthening the core muscles, when we do feel ourselves getting out of balance, we can correct strongly without having to make a giant change in how we are. For instance, if we lose our balance and we have no core strength, we can fall and hurt ourselves. Whereas if we lose our balance, but we feel we're doing that and we've got absolutely great core strength, we can prevent ourselves from falling and getting hurt. We can also maybe fall correctly if we do fall and do a roll, break our fall, learn from a martial arts how to fall correctly, learn from tumbling how to tumble and roll out. If you fall off a motorcycle, like I've done a few times, is do you fall hard or do you fall where you allow yourself to roll out of the fall? These things are taught and learned and practice. You can't just do this by just thinking about it. Balance and strength training. Strengthen the core muscles like we just talked about. The stability will improve the ability to sense body position and movement in space. Mindful movement. Yoga and Tai Chi encourage conscious awareness of body positioning. By connecting our mind and body together, we more fully appreciate the world. By being able to touch and hold somebody's hand and walk with them and go somewhere where there are other people and being confident in our sense of balance as well as our ability to move and know where we are and how we're doing, help strengthen our ability to react and connect with the world around us. I'll be back in a moment with more 90 Day Soulmate.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate. We were talking about the senses. Now let's talk about a couple of things that may blur the ability for us to see, hear, feel stimuli, stress or anxiety, cognitive biases, past trauma and unresolved experiences, fatigue or sleep deprivation. Overstimulation or sensory overload can overwhelm the brain's ability to focus and interpret clearly. Not only do these things impact the brain, but they impact all those senses. Ability to pick up on the stimuli or pick up on it correctly, we may misinterpret the stimuli. The program is in the triune brain, which the triune brain, the definition of the concept is the human brain, which is the portion of the brain which is the neocortex. This is where conscious thought occurs. The mammalian brain, which is the limbic system where emotions are. And the reptilian brain, which is the brain stem and cerebellum. Let's go a little bit more in depth. Let's go into the neocortex. Let's go into the neomammalian brain or the human brain. It's where the rational thinking occurs. Its function is responsible for higher order brain functions such as reasoning, problem solving, abstract thought, and complex language. The neocortex is involved in conscious thought and planning and allows for flexible, adaptive behavior. It's what allows humans to engage in complex social interactions, cultural activities, and strategic planning. All these things have to be learned in society as a member of society. These things aren't automatically taught in survival school, in how to feed yourself. This is higher level systems activities that come from complex learning that happen in that gray matter of that prefrontal cortex, the neocortex, the human brain, the most able to be controlled and programmed part of our brain. Maybe not the most easy to control, but the most easy to be programmed. Secondly, we'll have the next level down, which we'll call again, the paleomammalian brain or the limbic system. It's where the emotions are. It is our emotional and social brain, social emotional, which manage emotions, memories, and social behaviors. It includes structures like the amygdala, which is used for emotion processing, the hippocampus for memory formations, and the hypothalamus, which regulate bodily functions like hunger and sleep. It is central to the experience and expression of emotions, and it plays a crucial role in forming relationships and social bonding. So it's we want to be social, but the social isn't by learning norms and this and that. This is the emotional part of being social. We want contact. We want communication. We want emotional fulfillment of being with others. Some of us do. Some of us might like it better not to be with others, but a majority of people have a certain need to be in a community and feel a sense of community. And then finally, let's go back down to the mammalian or the reptilian brain. It's responsible for instinctual behaviors like aggression, dominance, territoriality, and ritualistic behavior. This is part of the brain which is highly resistant to change and is primarily reactive. The triune brain is just a model. It provides a simplified way to understand the brain's complexity. It highlights how different brain structures contribute to behavior. And finally, it's important to note that modern neuroscience recognizes that brain functions are more integrated and interdependent than this model suggests. Each of those brain types kind of interacts with each other in a more integrated fashion. The triune brain and Freud's psychoanalytic model, they're tied together pretty well. The triune brain model and Freud's psychoanalytic theory both offer frameworks to understand the complexity of human behavior. This overview aligns Freud's concepts of the id, ego, and superego with the triune brain's reptilian brain, paleomammalian brain, and neomammalian brain, respectfully. So when you hear how the id, the superego, and the ego are, you'll see how they tie together. And here we go. So the id is the reptilian brain. Both are driven by primal survival-oriented instincts. The superego and the paleomammalian brain both guide behavior based on internalized social norms and emotions. And the ego, which is the neomammalian brain or the human brain, both mediate between the internal drives and external realities through conscious thought and planning. So Freud's concepts and the triune brain concepts are pretty tied together, which also we did a show on love and the different phases of love, and we showed how they also were three phases and how they matched the reptilian, the paleomammalian, and the neomammalian concept of the triune brain, and how all these theories are just there as concepts to try to make things more understandable for us simple humans who used to be reptiles at one point, as the theory goes.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate. Let us kick this into high gear, get into spa theory, and look at how spa therapy can help the brain and behavior. Understanding it through the lens of the brain and behavior, spa theory integrates cognitive behavioral therapy and psychological models like the cognitive model, Freud's psychoanalysis, and the triune brain theory. It helps explain how our automatic thoughts, behaviors, and emotional reactions are shaped by deeper programs and patterns.
spa therapy, the spa theory, spa therapy, comes from us. We looked at all these other theories out there and tried to tie them together in one nice bow for you, our audience. Thank you. The cognitive model is at the core. We don't just react to events, we react to our thoughts about these events. So it's our thoughts that move us to action. Our thoughts are often automatic and shaped by past experiences, internal biases, and innate brain systems. For example, the situation is you wave at a friend and they don't wave back. We talked about this. Some think they're mad at me. They feel anxious and they avoid this friend. Others think they didn't see me. They feel fine and move on with their life as if nothing happened. These responses are products of personal patterns which are reinforced over time as a bias is developed, a reaction happens, and then that behavior produces a reaction. And when you witness that, it then either reinforces, and typically we see things that reinforce our previous and prior biases. So our thoughts and our understandings are things that we see. If we talked about the stimuli are seen through our senses, filtered by our programs and patterns, stored by our programs and patterns, cause us to think thoughts based upon our programs and patterns, and then elicit behavior based upon all that. Why do people respond so differently? Our brain structure, personal history, and ingrained thought patterns blur stimuli and influence our interpretations. Five key blurring factors we spoke about: stress and anxiety. It narrows perception, exaggerates threat. Cognitive biases distort interpretation of neutral events. Past trauma makes us hypervigilant or avoidant. Fatigue weakens our rational filters and our senses. Overstimulation overwhelms processing systems, so we can't fairly and accurately process the information that's in front of us. Let's look at the deep roots in triune brain and Freud's theory. We looked at this from the triune brain and Freud's psychoanalytic theory and how they tie together. So the reptilian brain was the id, which was instinct, survival, and reactivity, which was flight, fight, aggression, or freezing. The limbic, emotional brain, is a paleomammalian as well, is superego. It's the limbic system where we have emotions, social bonding. It moves us to action from guilt, shame, attachment-driven behavior, subconscious programs. And the neocortex thinking brain, or the ego, is based upon rational thought and logic. That's where we are thinking, the thinking brain. It works on planning, self-regulation, and empathy. It thinks about the feelings of others. The neocortex, which is the ego, tries to moderate between the instinctual and the emotional part of our brain, the subconscious and the not only subconscious, but the unconscious programming that we have. Spa therapy. We talked about skin, eyes, vestibular, ears, nose, tongue, and the muscles, where these are the input systems to our brain. These are the ideas that if we can have a closer connection to the stimuli and accurately connect to the world around us, it can help ground individuals in the present, helping the ego, the rational brain, control and regain control from the reactive brain, the id, and the superego, the social guilt and judgment, by being more connected with the world and world around us and understanding how others feel. This is the empathy part. This is also the part of being emotionally intelligent, is that when we connect to the world around us, it will automatically change how we behave. So we actually think of our reaction before we react. And that goes back again to Pavlov, his dogs, and how they just salivated automatically in the sound of the bell. But we get to think, do we actually like that sound before we answer and before we take action? How do we put it all together? Cognitive behavioral therapy teaches us to notice our distorted thoughts, while SPA, or spa therapy, strengthens our sensory and emotional foundation so we can respond instead of react. So together with CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, spa therapy will help strengthen how we are in any given situation. In a moment of confusion or perceived rejection, the reptilian id may want to lash out. The limbic system or superego may flood us with shame or judgment, with emotions. But with spa awareness and CBT tools, the neocortex ego can pause, assess, and choose a better response. When you do that, you reprogram your superego. You reprogram your id. And you slowly change the automatic thought to a better thought, because you can change these underlying systems of programs in those lower levels of the triune brain. But you need to be able to use your human brain, your ego, to control that. It takes knowledge, it takes understanding, and it takes effort. How to reprogram? Reprogram the deep brain. How to guide the ego, the id, and the superego to heal and grow. Lasting change begins with consistent action, not just willpower. To rewire our automatic responses, our habits, emotions, and behaviors, we must intentionally engage all three layers of the brain that align with Freud's model. Let's talk about the id, the reptilian brain, for instinct and survival. Goal is to soften reactivity and build safety. The tools that spa offers in sensory regulation, the daily grounding through breath, movement, and sensory input can help regain a better sense of touch, sound, and balance. This routine and structure in our lives that we can put in can help with predictability, which will reduce fear responses. And body-based practices like yoga, cold exposure, walking can integrate instinctual responses with higher awareness. The result would be less fight or flight or freeze and more calm and grounded presence in our life, which is the goal of spa therapy, become more grounded in our lives. Let's look at the limbic brain and the superego, where emotion and judgment are. Transform this internal criticism into empathy. The tools: emotional literacy, identifying and name feelings to reduce emotional overwhelm. Reparenting and compassion practices, replace guilt shame loops with kindness and healthy inner guidance. Part of this is objective observation of ourself, of our past, of our patterns, of our programs. Therapeutic relationships, safe, consistent relational experiences, heal attachment wounds. Result, the superego evolves from a harsh critic to a wise inner coach. You want less stress in your connected lives with other people. Get with a group of people who are welcoming, are loving, are accepting, and aren't stressful. You may have to change some of the friends that you have around you, or set up the boundaries you have with those who you have to stay connected with. Learn to be confident in yourself and learn your own strengths. Stay calm and reduce the reactivity. The neocortex, or ego, reason and regulation. We want to strengthen the conscious choice and flexible thinking ability that we have. Cognitive behavioral therapy and thought tracking. Identify distorted thoughts and rewrite core beliefs. Mindfulness. Practice awareness of thoughts without attaching or reacting. Goal setting and reflection. Regularly check in with values, actions, and progress. Result will be the ego becomes the clear-headed leader that integrates emotion, instinct, and logic. It's what can prepare us for a better, stronger, more relaxed, more connected future. And finally, the path to automatic preferred action. Every time we pause, reflect, and redirect, we teach the brain a new pathway. With practice, emotional storms pass faster. Reactions become thoughtful responses. Instincts begin to align with our values. Neuroplasticity is real, but it's unlocked by repetition, reflection, and relationship. Neuroplasticity is unlocked by repetition, reflection, and relationship, meaning
the relationship of this new information to other information we have and other information have and other information we have, the more connections you have within that brain, the more it is reinforced and grows stronger. Finally, spa therapy combined with CBT and brain-based insight offers a roadmap to retrain our inner world so that the id, superego, and ego work in harmony, not conflict. Finally, today's program, spa therapy. It's what cognitive behavioral therapy and psychological research teach us that result in spa therapy. Hope you have a calm, connected, grounded week. Hope to see you next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.